I'm like, should I be doing something?
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek in Boynton Beach, Florida.
I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 28th, episode 2214, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse world.
I can't take it anymore.
Thank God it's Friday.
I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
Work all week so that we can eat and own a little piece of God's ground. Pushing papers and pens, red tape never ends. The stress can turn a smile into a frown. Some horsing around.
And horsing around on today's show, we're going to have a little chat with a gal by the name of Rennie Dyball. She is the co-author of Show Strides, which is a new horse-centric series of books designed for young folks, co-authored by the very same Piper Clem of Plaid Horse fame. And then we're going to do a little list, eventing questions we all ask each other, and I'm sure that these are going to apply to other disciplines as well. And then, of course, it's Friday, so Really Bad Ads is just going to knock every rail the whole way around the course. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Speaking of eventing, over in England, there's an eventer by the name of Piggy French, who we've seen compete over here in Kentucky, and she won badminton last month, so she wanted to have a party, so she invited a few of her friends, people that you might recognize, William Fox Pitt, Pippa and William Funnel, Tina Cook, Ross Cantor, won WAG last year, Harry Mead, just on and on and on. She invited this list of super eventing celebrities over to a party at her farm, and she had
Hey, here's a party. I beat all of you guys. Have a party.
Right. Yeah, come have a party because you're all losers. So she had drinks and a reception, you know, and all this stuff. And then she got up. She's known to have a bit of a sense of humor, by the way. And then she got up and she decided to have some fun. So she thanked everybody that was, you know, that was involved, the owners and all that stuff. She read out some letters that Mary King had written her. Apparently, Piggy, when she was a child, would write to Mary King, and Mary King would write responses, and she apparently read those letters, and apparently they were quite funny. So she did that, and then she announced very loudly that her and her longtime fiance, Thomas March, were getting married that day. And as she made the announcement, the double-decker English buses, the big red ones, you know, showed up to take them to the church. They had told just a very few people, and nobody knew that they were coming to a wedding. They all thought they were coming to this party, so it was a surprise wedding. They headed out to St. Mary the Virgin in Maidwell, and they got married. And
that's
then they came
so
back.
Cool. That's so awesome.
I love this too. Her elder twin sisters, Nini and Anna, gave readings at the wedding from Winnie the Pooh and Ecclesiastes.
Glenn, study the Bible.
But I thought Winnie the Pooh, that was kind of funny.
I love it.
So then the double-decker buses took them back to the farm where they had a reception. So there you go.
Very cool.
You don't hear about surprise weddings a lot.
That's because it's too much work.
It's
good
true.
For her. You know what? It takes winning badminton to be able to pull all that to everybody together in the same place. Congratulations, Piggy. That is so amazing. What a fun party.
Yeah, and apparently, unfortunately, though, Mary King couldn't make it. So her her daughter went and showed up. So that was kind of cool. All right. I just thought that was a fun story to lead off on a Friday. Jennifer, Daily Winnie time. I wanted to give our first Daily Winnie to one of our listeners named Aubrey, and I just wanted to let her know that we're thinking about her. And Jennifer, birthday song.
Oh, birthday song.
Happy birthday.
And I wanted to give a happy birthday to Auditor Erin King. It's her birthday. Only one birthday over the weekend with our auditors. It's amazing. So, Erin, happy birthday.
Happy birthday. That's awesome. I have two. So the reason Glenn keeps telling Jennifer to play the sound is because he's not at home and he usually hits a button. So how about my Daily Winnie? I have two, but we're going to just do the sound one time. And by the way, Stanley has an even cuter Winnie than that. So we're going to have to figure out how to record it. It was really hard to get Zara's. So this one is going to be awesome. First Daily Winnie, actually, it's a little help. My mother, Glenn, listens to our show via the app, apparently, sometimes.
No, you never want your mother listening to this.
No, I know.
Hi, Mom.
She's used to me. See, here's the problem, Glenn. She calls me and she's like, I don't understand something about your show.
Okay.
What?
We don't understand most of the things about our
show. She goes, why do you guys talk so fast? What do you mean? You guys just talk really, really fast. It's like you're talking.
Oh, no. And, she was listening at faster speed.
She's been listening this whole time on a fast speed. So
wondering why we sound like chipmunks.
I don't know how to get her to take it off fast speed. So I was going to have you tell her on the air right now how to take it off fast speed. But you have to talk really slow.
What's her first name? June. I don't know what app she is using.
She's using the HRN app.
We don't have a fast speed on an HRN app.
You know what? How about June? Glenn will call you later.
I don't know why, because we don't even have fast speed on the HRN app. It's not on there.
Either that or her hearing aid. She needs to tweak it. She doesn't even wear hearing aids.
Okay, I'm just looking to see if something was up. Nope, I don't see a fast speed on the...
She's like, I just can't listen anymore. I'm like, good.
Oh, wait a minute. Now I'm playing this show and I can't figure out how to stop it. See? No, there's no fast speed on her app.
I didn't see that either. So we're going to have to talk, Mama. I'll have Glenn call you later. Second Daily
Maybe
Winnie.
A different app.
She's like, I just don't understand why y'all talk so fast.
We do talk fast, but not that fast.
Not that fast. Yeah. Second Daily Winnie goes, oh, God, it's been so quiet and it's been so nice and it's been so lovely here on the farm because Zeus has been locked away. He now lives in the mare stall, and it has his own paddock, so he's been living alone. He hasn't been harassing anybody, but I got Larry in training, and Larry is super, super herd bound. So one thing that you do with a herd bound horse is you just move him around, and he has to stay by himself, and he's been in now all, I have four separate paddocks or places I can put horses, and he's been in every single one of them. And I keep mixing it up. So he's now in Zeus's paddock. Well, apparently Zeus was not okay with that. Because I went out to feed this morning. And what text did I send you this morning, Glenn? We're going to have to do the meeting late.
Yeah. We did a meeting for about 5 minutes before the show started. Yeah.
Which usually it's half an hour. I was like, I can't do it. So let me just explain to you what Zeus did today. Okay, Zeus let himself out of his paddock, which is... The paddock is kind of surrounding the barn, but he let himself out of his paddock. Mind you, everything is chained with the double D snap, but he's never let himself out of a paddock because there's like super tall grass and there's plenty to eat. So why would he ever leave? Huh? I don't know. He's Zeus. So he lets himself out of paddock and he goes into the barn, which the barn is completely closed up just in case this situation happens. What does he do? He opens the Dutch doors on the barn top and bottom, makes his way into the stall, which the stall front is closed, but he can hang his head over. And he then destroys a double D snap, which I found springs and bent metal and all on the middle of the floor.
Did okay. he do that with his mouth?
With his mouth. And then he opened that stall and then ransacked the barn aisle. I have like some shelves that are plastic and they've got like fly sprays on
Please
everything.
Please tell me Chad down. Wasn't home.
No, thank God he's on a trip. Down and broken. There's piles of poop in the barn aisle. All like super, it's like he saved it all up for the barn aisle. And then he then went to Larry's paddock, which is his paddock, opened that paddock door, got into the pasture with Larry, and is out peacefully grazing with the herd-bound horse, who now probably is backsliding.
Yeah, you're going to be starting over with that one.
Uh-huh. And they're just happy, super comfortable. This horse is a management nightmare. Now, Betty Faye did send me an extra like new type of clip to try. However,
why aren't you using one of those padlocks we used to have in school, like the dialed ones with the like we used to have in high school?
He got out of Glenn. He's able to with the padlock. He was able to flip somehow the barn door off of the slider. So now he lives in the stall, the Maren Foal stall, which has no facial access over at all, unless I put the thing down. So I leave the thing up, but he wasn't in there because of Larry and his herdboundness. So Larry's moved around. So Larry was just in his paddock for one night. And I am riding him again. I am riding him four times a week. So he's
you
not
should make
super
him
bored.
Into a trick pony. He is so smart. You could make a fortune on the circuit just doing trick pony stuff.
You know what I'm going to do now? I'm going to put out a call. I'm going to start a GoFundMe for some sort of camera system where I can record all of his things. And
then sell ads
sell ads. People watch this horse. Just watch. A great idea. Oh my God.
Halfway through, he can hold up, you know, a product, do a little product promotion in the middle of his escapades.
Zeus is wearing the finest of muzzles and a fly blanket that is brought to you by
Maybe ES. That's the answer, a muzzle. Then he can't get his mouth around anything.
Oh yeah, Glenn. So he has a muzzle, which he wears when he's out in the tall grass, which he was
Does
not.
He keep that on?
I finally found the muzzle that works. I'm going to actually get them on the show because it's the first muzzle that's ever actually worked. However, he doesn't need it all the time because he's not out in like, you know, it's not spring grass growing. It's like kind of burned summer grass where he was. So he wasn't wearing it last night. Big mistake on my part, although he probably would have figured a way to get that off before then, opening his pasture, opening the Dutch door in the barn, opening the front of the stall, and then going down and opening Larry's stall and letting himself back into his paddock.
Maybe you should do this. Make a sub pen inside of his paddock. And just line the whole thing. Make it like 20 feet square of nothing but doors. And just let him walk around and open doors just for hoots and giggles. Like, you know how those little play things they make for kids with mirrors and doors and ties?
Yeah.
Just make doors everywhere for him. But don't go anywhere.
I just need to put a bunch of hinges on a board and like they do for kids. Yeah.
Put
that
so
in the stall.
Right, so he can practice.
Yeah.
Just hang it on the wall of the stall so he can just play with them.
Yep. Yeah. Put every kind of lock on it and let him practice. That'd be great.
Once he's in his specific paddock, he's fine. I've got it sorted out. I thought he would appreciate being turned out in the arena and you know the grass that's growing up in the arena. He was like happy to eat and stuff. No, apparently not. Not okay. Not good enough. Now he wants back in his paddock that he's been stuck in for like 2 months, and it's been so peaceful. Sorry, Larry, you got to go.
I want to hear about one of your other horses, too, but we'll do that after the guest because okay. Your little baby horse. How old's Stan Lee now?
Stan Lee is 3 months.
3 months old. Stan Lee did something really cute and impressive. So we'll talk about that after our guest. Jennifer is going to be calling the guest because I am away. I'm down at Jemmy's. We have appointments to run down here for Finding Florida this weekend. So she is going to call the guest on the air. Yeah, and so for those that have been in Florida, there is nothing more boring than the drive from Orlando to South Florida.
Really?
Oh, my God. It is the Florida Turnpike through the middle of the swamps, and there's just nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing for 3 hours.
Well, you know what you don't want to do is get a flat tire and pull over on the side of the road. Then an alligator will drag you on into the forest.
I know. For some reason, I was talking about this with Reese, who has to make that drive a lot. And she's like, it's the worst drive. And we all have drives like that. Through every state has that boring section of like turnpike. But for some reason, this one in Florida is just awful. I don't know why. And they also have the busiest rest stops I've ever seen in my life. There's like 1,000 parking spots, and you cannot get in. Don't get food at these rest stops because the lines are 30 deep. It's just incredible.
Just people are like, oh my God, there's somebody, another human I can talk to.
Hi, Rennie, are you there?
Hi, I am.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for joining us today. Rennie is the co-author, as Jennifer said earlier, of a book series that's coming up, and she's co-authoring that with Piper Clem, who is, of course, host of the podcast right here on the Horse Radio Network.
And you are live on the air, by the way.
Yes. Yep. So people are hearing you. So the series is called Show Strides. So what's it about?
Yeah, it's kind of like a Saddle Club 2.0 for the kids coming up in the sport today. It is more horse show focused than that series was. And while we are aiming at a certain reader demographic, it's technically middle grade fiction, so ages 9 to 13-ish, we're finding that younger kids are enjoying the series as well, even just being read to them. And older teenagers and even adults are enjoying it too, because those of us who are horse crazy will consume any horse media, regardless of who it is aimed for. So it's nice to have readers of all ages and coming from all parts of the sport.
When you said that age, I thought of Jamie, because that's perfect for her. She'll be reading this like crazy. So now, one of the things that's interesting is our listeners have a private Facebook room, and they talk about books a lot. They're always talking about what books to read next. So books have not gone out of style. People are still reading books, and I'm excited that there's going to be a new series. Jennifer listened to chapter one. Apparently, you guys actually read chapter one on episode 30 of Plaidcast Junior, and she said it made me want to listen to the rest of it. So you've got to you're going to have a new reader there. So what prompted this? Piper, you know, she's a little busy. I don't know when she has time to write books, but
she's a little bit busy, and needed a hand with that process. She has wanted to get into book publishing for many years, and I feel very lucky that I was in the right place at the right time, having moved from New York to the Baltimore area and starting to ride with a new trainer here who said to me, oh, I should put you in touch with Piper Clem now that you're a freelancer. And I thought, this is great. I would love to write blog posts for the Plaid Horse, which I do. But I also quickly found out that Piper wanted to get into books. And I had always been a ghostwriter on the side, writing celebrity books while I was at People Magazine and People.com. And nothing makes me happier than getting to write about horses. So it was an excellent fit. And we had lunch and she told me what she wanted for the series. And it sounded like just the type of book I would love to read and write. So it worked out really well for both of us. And we're so happy to have this product out there with more books on the way.
Now, is this following one particular person, or is there an antagonist? What's the theme?
Yeah, we're avoiding the mean girls that show up in series for this age group. There's certainly some drama that crops up, but generally we're following two characters, a rider named Tally at our fictional barn, Quince Oaks, who is in the lesson program. And she starts catch riding when a new hunter-jumper trainer comes to the barn. So she learns the ropes of catch riding sales ponies and gets to go from just schooling shows at her barn to learning a little bit about rated shows and the A circuit and that whole world. Our other main character, Mac, has a medium pony hunter of her own, and she's moving up from the children's ponies and finding that making that leap is not as easy as they thought. So both riders in different ways are learning how hard they have to work to make it happen in this sport, and that those beautiful rounds you see, finding all the distances and that perfect canter rhythm, that doesn't just happen. You have to put in the work for it. So they both find that out in their own ways through book one. And book two and three takes them to some of the big shows. They go to Devon and Pony Finals. We introduce a boy rider in book three who rides in the jumpers. So over the course of the series, we're hoping to touch on all different disciplines and areas of the sport to kind of give our readers a little insight into maybe what something other than their lane within equestrian sports.
Wait a minute. There's a new book out that does not have a murder in it. That seems impossible. I mean,
we do have our share of drama. Like I said, you'll have to read to see what the drama is, but no, it's pretty PG.
And you only introduce boys into the mix in the third book. So, geez, you're breaking all the rules here.
Barn kids, you know, if you're a barn rat, you don't have time for boys. So,
yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, this is great. Are they out? What's the story there?
Yeah, the first book is out. It's available on Amazon in three forms. We're in paperback, on Kindle, and Audible. Book two is going to be out by August, and book three by the fall, with more to follow after that.
Very good. Where can they find them?
Everything's on Amazon right now. You can read the first chapter of book one on theplaidhorse.com, and they will be at select horse shows and tack shops as well. We're slowly expanding there, but Amazon and theplaidhorse.com are your places to go for right now.
And we'll put a link in our show notes there as well. The first chapter was also on Plaidcast Junior, which you can find on our app or any of your podcast players, and it's called Show Strides. And now, before I let you go, you brought up something I have to ask about. What was it like working with People Magazine? That must have been a trip.
Yeah, it was wonderful. I started right out of college, and I was there for 15 years. So I met tons of celebrities and even got to incorporate my own interests there a little bit. I interviewed Georgina Bloomberg and went out to her farm in New York for an assignment. So celebrities all over the spectrum, which is lovely. But I'm transitioning into just books now, which is exciting in its own way. A little, not quite as high maintenance.
We've had a lot of people on who have met celebrities, and you don't have to give names here if you don't want to. Sometimes when you meet a celebrity, you're so disappointed because they're not what you expected. Were they mostly what you expected, or did you have those that were like, oh, that was a disappointment?
Yeah. I can point to probably three. Obviously, I'm not going to name names who were very disappointing, and it hurt my feelings, but, you know, I love to update their music, and they were not what I thought.
No. We name names on the show. Let me tell you something. I have dropped a lot of names of people that have irritated or disappointed or thrilled me. So come on, give me, they're not listening. Come on. Who was it?
Well, so I am also a ghostwriter. I write celebrity books. Celebrities, or that's going to affect
if
my
she
work,
ever wants to have a book
you.
Again. She can.
Well, well, let me yes, just, I'll drop a name. Jane Fonda is the worst human on the planet, just so you guys know.
Oh, no.
The worst.
I liked that movie, Book Club. I will say something like 95% of celebrities I met couldn't have been more lovely, particularly the cast of Full House. I went and reported on the first episode of Fuller House, their Netflix spinoff. John Stamos, let me tell you, as charming and handsome in person as you can imagine.
He's a
beautiful human. Thumbs up for that cast.
He is a beautiful human. Oh my God.
He is.
Well, I'm glad to see that the Fuller House cast didn't disappoint. That would have been awful.
Have you ever met Will Smith? Or worked with him. He is the greatest human on the planet.
Only seeing him in passing on a red carpet, him and Bradley Cooper and Brad Pitt, you know, just a quick interjection on a red carpet, and they were all lovely, total professionals. I wish I could have talked to them longer.
That's awesome.
Well, this is great. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it. The series is called Show Strides. You can find it on Amazon. We'll also put a link, and good luck with it.
Thank you so much. You can
send me a private email and we'll discuss. Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye. Nobody's called me to ghostwrite, so I can slam people.
Yeah, you're not getting those calls every day.
No.
All right, Jennifer, let's hear from Kentucky Performance Products. When we come back, we have to talk about a baby. We have a list for you with some really bad ads, and we're giving away a box of crap.
She had waited all her life for this moment, dreaming about it since she was 10 years old. The trailer ramp touched the ground. He whinnied as she backed him out, swinging his head around to get a good look at his new home. His coat gleamed in the sun. Her love had arrived. She was breathless. He was beautiful. She could hardly wait to tack him up and start off on what she was sure would be the best times of her life. This love story is brought to you by Contribute, providing essential omega-3 fatty acids that help maintain low inflammation levels throughout your horse's body. The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Call 859-873-2974 or visit kppusa.com to order today.
Well, thanks to Kentucky Performance Products for their continued support. Now, before we get to this list I have for you and Jennifer, I wanted to ask you about a video I saw. I was traveling at one of those busy rest stops. I was looking at Facebook, killing some time, and I saw this video that you had of Pink, your baby mama, rolling in the arena, and then something surprising happened.
Yeah. So in this, I'm moving horses around in different areas. I was able to turn Pink and Stan Lee and Duke, they all kind of hang out together, out into the front area, which includes the arena and the round pen and some grass and some other areas. And oh my God, Stan Lee was so excited to be in a new place. And he's just flying around and running around. And he kind of runs around the corner and Pink goes to lay down and roll in the itchy sand. And, you know, anytime she finds comfort in anything, I'm super excited. So I'm videoing. He's running around, I'm videoing. She goes to roll and I'm like, oh, look at her going to roll. And then Stan Lee comes out of nowhere, loops around. He comes into the arena. The arena is not fully fenced. So he runs into the arena and there's three jumps set up in the arena, two tiny cross rails and 1 2-foot vertical. Because I've been working so hard on getting baby Groot to finally like jump a little nicer. And turns out I don't need to teach baby Groot anything. I just have to wait till Stan Lee comes around. Because he ran around to the middle of the tallest jump and jumped it. And in stride, flying change right before it, leaped over it. And I took a still shot. His knees are by his eyeballs and his knees are also above the 4-foot standards.
Yeah, he's cleared it by several feet.
That's my baby.
And his form was wonderful. It really was.
That's pretty impressive.
It's just so impressive, one, that you got that on video, because
yeah, that's the most impressive part. Yeah,
that never happens, but you got a little jumper in the making there.
I'm so excited. I did send that picture to the stallion owners, and they reshared it on their page too. Oh, so of course, because I mean, hello, this is a Roubignon baby and look at the talent and skill and blah blah blah. Anyway, it was so exciting. He's so good. I'm so excited about this horse. I love him. Love him. Love
well,
him.
Well, I think
love
that him. You don't have to wait till 2 years. You could start working with him now. Some free jumping and
yeah. 3 months old. Let's get him in full
training.
Let's
get him started. What are you waiting for? By the way, if people want to see that video, where do they go?
You know what? I posted it on the horse. I'll post it on the Horses in the Morning Facebook page.
Okay. Sounds good. That's where they can see it then. Well, I found this list. This is for you and Jennifer. Now, Jennifer, you're going to have to go back in time because she doesn't event competitively anymore, but did for a long time when I met her. I went to a few events in my day, and I know Jamie does. And this is an article, if I can get to it, on freaking Horse and Hound, which has 85,000 ads on one page.
They do.
Oh, my God. 28 questions all grassroots event riders ask themselves on competition days. Now, these are meant for event riders, but applies to really anybody competing, doing anything. So I think you can all relate to this and answer the questions yourself. So these are things that you ask yourselves on competition day.
Let me guess one of the questions.
Yes, go ahead.
One of the questions you ask yourself. This is something that I've asked myself on several occasions when I'm competing. Why the hell do I do this?
Well, that's a thread through all of these questions.
Okay. Gotcha.
All right, guys. So this one, I can know what Jennifer's answer is to this one. First one is, why is the alarm clock going off at this ungodly hour?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It doesn't
Jennifer
matter where you are.
Was so. Up like that. She never had. I don't think you ever said that. You were up and ready to go.
For the most part, I get up before the alarm clock goes off. I'm very, very motivated by the potential alarm.
Yeah. she always wanted to get up before the alarm. Why do I do a sport that requires me to get up so early? There were times, because every show we had to go to from Central Pennsylvania was 3 to 4 hours away. And for some reason, the further away you live, and if you're not stabling, you get the first time of the day. You get the 8 o'clock time. So we always had to leave at like 3 to get there in time. I don't know why.
Well, that's just stupid. You could just get a hotel room.
There were no hotels.
Not in Fair Hill. You didn't want to get a hotel room. No. Let me tell you, we tried that route.
Hey, I got a question for Jamie.
Yeah.
And this question might be on the list because I don't have the list. Have you ever told yourself, I need to move up a level so that I can get a later ride time?
Oh, my God. A million times over. Yes. Because they run the babies first. You know. Oh, God. It's so true. I'm like, I need to go prelim so I can at least finish like a REM cycle.
Yeah.
Am I already too nervous to eat breakfast? Jennifer didn't eat much before.
Already too nervous.
Yeah, oh, she didn't eat much.
No, you don't eat. But Chad will walk up to me with like a, you know, like a breakfast sandwich, and he'll be like, you want a bite? Get it away from me. It away. I can't eat. But after I ride and I'm done, you bet I will mow through some French fries. Watch out. It's the only time I eat French fries is after a horse show. Oh, my God.
Are not French fries the most perfect post-horse show food ever created?
Ever.
I don't care who we were with. On the way back from a horse show, we had to stop at Wendy's or McDonald's for fries. One or the other.
Give me some French fries. Watch out. I will elbow somebody.
Then you get to see your horse after you've gone through all that. And it's, why is my horse so dirty? I spent an hour bathing him yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
It's true.
Why have my braids fallen out overnight? You never did it till that day, Jennifer. I remember you doing the braids the night before.
Because they fell out by the next morning.
That's why she had to get up at 3 a.m., Glenn, was to braid. No, I braid at night, and I finally got smart and invested in one of those sleazy things. But if you remember Jet, the hoodie thing, Jet would still figure a way to rub it out. He thought being pretty was the worst thing ever. Ever.
I'm only 20 minutes late leaving. Surely I can catch that up if there's no traffic. Jennifer was a stickler about that. I think we left on time. I don't think we ever left.
See, when I would go to leave, inevitably, Chad's like, I got to check the tire pressure. Why the hell did you check the tire pressure when I was packing this thing yesterday? No, you've got to. I'm like, I got to go. He's like, I got to check the tire pressure. What, do you want to have a flat tire on the side of the road? I was like, I'll call you when that happens. It's okay. You can handle it then. Yeah.
Why has my horse pooed all down his white socks on the way there in the trailer? That is true. You do have poo marks. And
I guess I don't ever try. I don't usually travel the morning of the horse show. Yeah.
But this was in England where they do that a lot.
Oh, they do that a lot. Yeah.
Why am I the only person in the warm up who can't even get their horse on the bit?
Why am I the only one in the warm up who can't barely keep their horse in the warm up?
Why does that?
Because you're that girl that guy.
Why does that girl on the perfect gray keep glaring at me? Is it because I can't keep my horse on the bit, or does she think I'm cute? Nope, that's not it.
The girl on the gray, pretty gray horse that's glaring at you is hoping you don't run into her and get her horse dirty.
That's right. You don't come anywhere near her.
I've never been that girl on the gray, but I know her. I know her very well.
You were always the other girl.
I was always the other girl and still am to this day.
Why did I forget everything I did in my last lesson as soon as I went between the whiteboards?
You know what? Going through the start box, and Jen, you can attest to this. There is a moment, like say you go through that first jump and show jumping, or you take that first step into the dressage arena, or even in a 100 round. Why, as soon as you start, is there that 20 seconds of utter blank of like, where, like, you don't even know your name. You don't know where you are. You don't know where you're going. What jump to jump?
What division am I in? What number do I start with? What number
what
got
horse
first?
Is this?
Yeah. Been there. All of them.
Yeah. I don't know. Where, why did I just woke up from a dream and I'm sitting here on a horse, like, and I'm supposed to travel to something. I don't know where it is. I don't know.
Now, yeah, even more frustrating for me, through the start or through the letter at A or whatever, that was pretty short for me, 15 or 20 seconds and I could be okay again. What was really infuriating for me, especially for stadium jumping, is I would get through the finish flags and I could not recall a single second of the round I just rode.
Oh God. And yeah, it's true.
What happened?
Can y'all send me a video? Cause I blanked out. Did I jump everything? I don't know. Yeah, I know that, A, enter working trot, you know, at, and, you're
after
supposed
that,
to, when you
gone.
Get to C, track right or track left. I enter working trot. I'm like, oh God. Which way do I turn? Which way? Is it right or left? Is it right or left? And so you try to like collect your horse's trot just a few steps so you can have a little more time to remember what direction you're supposed to turn. Once you turn, you're fine. It's just like, oh God. Oh God, which way?
All right. And then the next
again,
one.
Again, why the hell do we do this, Jen?
Why?
Why?
Still in the warm-up arena. Why has that woman just put the jump up to the top? Nobody needs to jump the jump at the top and left the arena. It's that person who raises the jump all the way up and then jumps a couple times just to show off and then leaves and you're stuck with no help and a jump at the top. Yep.
I don't think that happens at horse trials over here. You know, they really only let you put it up to about a, I don't recall anybody
normally
ever doing that.
There's a lot of times cross rails and stuff too for the lower levels.
Yeah.
Set up that way. Why is my horse such a saint? Oh, wait a minute. Some of this British writing. Why is my horse such a saint that he jumped it anyway? Oh, yeah, okay. What if I still can't remember the course once I'm in the arena? I don't know how you guys remember the course anyway, to be honest. I don't know. I don't know how you remember courses. I would never.
My friend Jen, bless her heart, she has a daughter that barrel races. And it's one of my biggest pet peeves. And I know she listens to all of our shows. And so it's one of my biggest pet peeves. She was a student of mine in Arizona. And she, because she's been to so many Gymkhanas and things like that, play days, that she'd be like, okay, what's the pattern I'm supposed to do? And I'm like, it's not a pattern, Jen. It's a course. It's not a pattern. They call it Western pattern. It's a jump course. What's the jump pattern? No! That's Western. It's a course.
You know, you guys have it easy compared to the drivers in their marathon phase. They have all those obstacles with multiple gates in each obstacle that they have to remember where to go.
Yeah,
in
but they
each
have
one.
Two. They have a half a dozen people on the carriage with them to help.
It's true.
Ah, yeah. Okay, you try and remember which way to go. We were obstacle judging that one day, and we couldn't remember the one obstacle we were on which way they had to go. Yeah, I don't know how they do that. How about I'm going to be sick?
How do endurance riders see a tiny little arrow in the woods and turn right? That whole endurance thing still confused me.
You don't even get an arrow. You get a piece of tape stuck to a tree.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd be lost the whole time. You'd never get back.
I'm gonna embark in Oklahoma on my first ever endurance ride. Y'all gonna find me in South Texas.
I'm going to be sick between getting dressed for cross country, walking to the start, doing my warm up, and actually getting into the start box. And how many girls have we seen throw up off the side of their horses at shows? A few.
Like you even talking about this is my palms are sweaty. Oh,
were you one of those girls? Did you ever actually puke?
I don't puke. No, it's the other way. I need the bathroom. And why do I have to pee 57 times before I ride? Like, it's just ridiculous.
Her biggest complaint when she was pregnant, for those long-term listeners, you'll remember this because she was pregnant. The whole pregnancy was on this show. Your biggest complaint was you'd go to horse shows and have to pee 85 times.
Yeah.
And then you're pregnant. So really getting on and off the horse is not something you really want to look forward to 85 times. So, yeah.
Have you ever seen that Dumb and Dumber movie, you know, where they're coming around the bend and he's like, I've got to go to the bathroom. He's like, just go, man. Just go.
How about you're sitting there waiting for your turn and it seems to be taking forever. And then all of a sudden they call your name and it's like, oh, it can't be my turn already.
Oh, yeah. Hurry up and wait.
Yep. Seems to take forever, but then it's here.
That's the actual definition of a hunter show. Hurry up and wait. Yes, that's the subtitle.
Yes. Yes. And then, or you miss hearing your name called, and then they're like calling it three or four times, and you're about to get eliminated because you're not there, but God, you're not hearing it because they're not very loud. So
you are stressing me out. I'm having some sort of anxiety attack right now.
And then the constant fear, and this is true of any jumper, what if he stops at the first fence? Because there's nothing more embarrassing than that. And you know you're going to have a bad round if he stops at the first fence.
How much longer is this list? Seriously.
I just have a couple more. How about, what if he stops at the last fence? You made it the whole way through. And then he stops.
You know what? Avengers, if you've gotten to the last fence, you're going to be fine. However, they very, very obviously could knock it down. I am the queen of knocking down the last fence. And that says something about me, I know, but like, wow.
And then the last one, at the end of the day, you've completed, you're done, and now you have to put all that crap away and go home. And there's that, which also is another reason about why I'm doing this.
It's not the putting the crap in the trailer. It's unpacking once you are home.
Yeah. Unpacking is the worst.
Dirty clothing, dirty everything.
You're just tired.
Yeah, you're tired.
I'm so tired. Yeah, why do we do this? This sucks.
All right, you and Jennifer talk amongst yourselves for 1 minute. I will be right back.
See, Glenn has to go take a pee break because we didn't play a song.
Ah, that's what it is. Well, hey, we are going to do really bad ads in just a second. And the prize for really bad ads today is a box of crap. Now, if you recall, a box of crap is actually awesome. It's all the stuff that Glenn picks up at trade shows and all that, or gets mailed to Jen and Glenn, and they put it all in this box in his closet. And then once it's full, we close it up and we mail it to the winner of really bad ads. So are we giving away the prize today, Jen?
We are. We are giving away the box of crap today.
I can get it out of my closet. Yay.
Well, is it ready to go? Are we ready to do some really bad ads?
No, we have to do it after. Everybody knows we have to do it after.
Okay. I know.
Okay. Let's do some really bad ads and I'm ready.
Play the sounder.
Oh, I got to do the really bad ads song, don't I?
Yep.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader. Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
Well, that's right. It is time for some really bad ads. That time of the week when our listeners submit ads they found on Facebook or Craigslist, and we just have a little bit of fun with them. And everybody that submits gets put into a spreadsheet, and then we pick a number and we find a winner, and that we're going to do today for the box of crap. Michaela sent this one in, and this is in Caldwell, Idaho.
It doesn't matter. I cannot wait to hear you read this. This is fantastic.
23-year mayor, $500, price reduced now, $350. I love this Horks, but I need money pretty bad, and we're moving without as much propertory. I am sailing cheap for fast sale as long as it's a good home. She is a 23 mayor, quarter hoardy, with no medical issues.
K-N-O-W.
I've only loaded her once and did pretty well. She halters easy and can be saddles sloped as easy. She is good for a beginner, but probably best for someone with just a little EXP. She is 14.2 hands. If any more questions that I missed, just hit me up.
Hit me up. I have questions. Have you ever heard of spell check or punctuation?
We have a word first. The first one, it's saddles. It's S-L-O-M-S-T.
Slomst.
Slomst. That's the first. There were a lot of misspellings in that one. Oh, you get the next one. And this one's long, but worth it. Okay. Oh, you can't read all the swear words, though.
I will edit all the swear words. Good. This was sent by Jen. And there's one beginning on here. You want a car? It's a picture of a car. You want a car that gets the job done? You want a car that's hassle-free? You want a car that literally no one will ever compliment you on? Well, look no further. The 1999 Toyota Corolla. Let's talk features. Bluetooth? Nope. Sunroof? Nope. Fancy wheels? Nope. Rear view camera? Nope. But it's got a transparent rear window and you have a freaking neck that you can turn. Let me tell you a story. One day, my Corolla started making a strange sound. I didn't give a crap and ignored it. It went away. The end. You could take the engine.
We've all done that.
You could take the engine out of this car, drop it off the Golden Gate Bridge, fish it out of the water 1,000 years later, put it in the trunk of the car, fill the gas tank up with Nutella, turn the key, and this puppy would freaking start right up. This car will outlive you. It will outlive your children. Things that this car is old enough to do. Vote. Yes. Consent. Yes. Rent a car. It is a car. This car's got history. It's seen some stuff. People have done straight things in this car. People have done gay things in this car. It's not going to judge you like a freaking Volkswagen would. Interesting facts.
I've owned a Toyota and a Volkswagen. I relate to that.
This car's exterior color is gray, but its interior color is gray. In the owner's manual, oil is listed as optional. When this car was unveiled at the 1998 Detroit Auto Show, it caused all 2,000 attendees to spontaneously yawn. The resulting abrupt change in air pressure inside the building caused a partial collapse of the roof and 4 people died. The event is chronicled in the documentary Bored to Death, the story of the 1999 Toyota Corolla. Do you want to know?
The Corolla, by the way, we did.
Oh, God. No, I haven't, but I feel like everybody has. You want to know more? Great. I had my car fill out a Facebook survey. Favorite food? Spaghetti. Favorite TV show? Alf. Favorite band? A tie between Bush and the Gin Blossoms. I would have gone with Creed and the Gin Blossoms because it's just very, very, very vanilla. Yeah. This car is as practical as a Roth IRA. It's as middle of the road as my favorite sentence. It's as middle of the road as your grandpa during his last silver alert.
We get a lot of those in Florida.
It's as utilitarian as a member of a church whose scripture is based entirely on water bills. When I ran the Carfax for this car, I got back a single piece of paper that said, it's a Corolla, it's fine. Let's face the facts, people. This car isn't going to win any beauty contests, but neither are you. So stop lying to yourself. Stop lying to your wife. This is not the car you want, but it's the car you deserve. The freaking 1999 Toyota Corolla!
Do you think an ad agency wrote that for a used car dealer?
Oh, God.
Who had
I
an excess of Toyota Corollas on the lot.
This is in Houston, too. So we've got some listeners down there. Y'all need to go ahead and take a look at this. I mean, that's fantastic. By the way, the word freaking was misplaced, replaced, and so was there was
several
many
others.
Words.
Yes. It's colorful. Yeah.
It's colorful. Yes, this was not PG-friendly ad. You did very well at translating the language, though. You did very well. That's so funny.
Oh, my God. You mean,
but we've all, the Toyota, they're right. They're absolutely right about Toyota. It's just all of these things.
What's the worst car you've ever had?
Oh, God. Gremlin. My first car ever was a freaking Gremlin.
Isn't that a cool car or is that a crappy car?
No, it was a crappy car. Literally, I bought my first car. I had worked at the Zins Diner for 2 years, saving money, working night shift after school and weekends as a dishwasher and then a cook. And I was so proud. I'd saved like $2,000 or $3,000. And I went and bought this damn Gremlin. the transmission literally fell out on the road on the way home from the dealership.
Oh, no.
On the road. I had to have one of those flatbed things come and take it back to the dealership.
Oh, my God. Did you get your money back?
No, but there was no, because I had driven it off the lot. But there was a 30-day warranty, so they did fix it. But it took about 30 days. That was my first car.
Yes. Okay, now Googled Gremlin. I would kill for one of these cars right now. They're super cute now, but back then...
No, they
then...
are not. And the gas, the other thing about the Gremlin, the gas tank was in the very back.
Oh, God.
Right near that bumper. You got rear-ended. It blew up.
Oh, my God. Seriously? That's a great car. That's a great car.
What was your worst?
Oh, God. So I bought, just correction, I needed a car. And I was like, Mom, I need a car. I didn't have a car. I was living in Southern Pines being like a homeless person trying to be I was a working student in for some eventers. And so I had no car. So I was coming home and I'm done being a working student. I'm like, I need a car. Mom was like, I bought you a car. She's like, however, it needs a little time. My stepdad works at a car dealership. They're going to fix it up. I was like, well, what is it and what does it need? She's like, this thing is awesome. It is a 1988 Ford Mustang. And I was like, that sounds cool. She was like, it's missing a few things right now. She bought it for $700 at garage sale. It had no wheels, had no wheels or axles or
and the VIN had been filed off. Yeah.
There was no steering wheel. There was a very many things missing. And I think I drove that car for 3 months and it broke. I was on I-85 downtown Atlanta. I became a traffic report. Okay. Because my car died in the middle of the freeway. So of course it's 85, right? It's like a huge, like 10 lane freeway. It just stops in the middle of it. I have to call a tow truck. Of course I didn't have a cell phone. So I had to like walk to the side of the thing. It was a nightmare. I get it towed to the gas station is going to fix it. And they call me and they're like, Jamie, we've got good news and bad news.
Why do they always say that when they call from the garage every time?
I said, give me the good news. I need some good news because this was a nightmare. She said, he's like, good news is there's only one thing wrong with it. And I was like, that's great. What's the bad news? He's like, it's the engine. It's done.
It blew up.
It cracked. You know, the entire engine just broke, just cracked in half. So that was about the worst car I've ever.
It's only going to cost you $5,000.
Yeah, and this was a $600, $700. I get if somebody's selling a car at a garage sale that has no wheels and no steering wheel, do not buy it. Do not buy it.
Jennifer, tell everybody what you were driving the day I met you.
Oh God, this is
that was my Jeep Wrangler. I loved my orange Jeep Wrangler.
It was
spray painted with orange cans of spray paint from the discount department at Kmart.
Yeah. Yes. It looked like it had been hand painted by two children with a brush.
Turns out it was Jen with the spray bottle.
It came that way. I bought it spray painted. It was awesome.
You also had another car that you loved that I was shocked that you drove the second time. It was an International.
Well, that wasn't mine, technically. That was my folks' car, but that was the International Harvester, a tractor in a truck suit.
Yes. The International Harvester made tractors. I didn't even know they made cars. This thing was a bomb. I mean,
it weighed about 10,000 pounds.
It did. Yeah. And I don't think it had been painted ever.
It was the great-great-great-grandparent of the Hummer.
It looked like a really bad ad trailer in a car, and that's what she was driving.
Rust color. Yeah.
I did
General
not.
Rusting.
So that'll go to show all of you. I did not marry her for her money. I did not.
And the good news is she did not marry you for yours. So it's even.
All right. Next one is from Caitlin. You want to do it?
Yeah. Caitlin sent this. And this is Maine. I need to make the state Maine horses and tack for sale. ISO a foire, who can trim in Chelsea for a dollar. I have been looking for a farried for a long time. My poor horse needs a trim. Anyone know a good farried who can come out ASAP?
I want to see the comments. What were the comments?
Yeah, she got 20 responses of people who know farrieds.
I don't know any ferries myself.
What I don't want to see is a picture of that poor horse's feet. Oh. Okay, Gemma sent the next
farrier wrong in three places, and this all differently. So there you go.
There we go. Okay.
Jennifer.
Gemma sent this one in. Fair warning, this one does have a yuck factor.
Yeah, but it's Gemma's squeaky voice. It'll be great.
It'll be awesome. Let's see if it'll play here. Is it gonna
It's
go?
Gemma. What this ad lacks in spelling and grammar is more than made up for with its many contradictions and TMI. Glenn, this one's for you. Three-year-old Sorrel paint, $500. Three-year-old paint mare, not rideable. She has had some training, but not near enough. She has had groundwork, been saddled and bridled, been rode before for training, but not rideable. She loads in a tiny trailer just fine. She picks up her feet. We've had her trimmed once. She did all right with her first trim. She saddles very well. She's small. She had a foal about a year ago that didn't live. We think it may have stunted her growth a bit. Something you should know. I'm no vet, but I'll try to explain as best I can, so I hope this makes sense.
Oh, no.
When she had her foal, we were not around. We actually had no idea she was even pregnant. She didn't look it at all. We bought her already pregnant. But the foal tried to come out anally and still couldn't come out. So it burst out the side and left one giant hole. She has had two surgeries already to fix it. She does need one more. Surgeries are only $250, done and out the door, which is cheaper than taking my dog to the vet for a small checkup. All they are doing is pulling her vaginal wall back so that she has two holes again. She's done fine with all of it. Has had no issues whatsoever. As of right now, sometimes when she poops, it won't all come out. One or two drops may fall down into the hole before it's pushed all the way out. I can reach in and grab the one poop and pull it out just fine. She has never had an infection from it or anything of the sort. She's very healthy. Just had a bad birthing experience. She will be able to breed and have more babies about 3 or 4 years or so down the road. And she will be just fine. No, she won't. If anyone does any kind of jumping sports and are willing to train her, she can jump. She would be an amazing jumper if given the opportunity to learn. But I thought she wasn't rideable. Any more questions, feel free to ask. Oh, I have so many. Thanks for looking.
Oh
so, if you're looking for a horse that can't poop, may or may not be rideable,
stop.
Or who
I can't
can
make
be
it
the
stop.
Foundation mare for...
There it goes.
Oh my God.
I could have listened to her keep talking. It's okay.
I told you.
Emily, you're banned. Never again.
For what?
Babies pop out the side?
So as a vet tech, we had to deal with a horse like this, and the owner just decided it was fine. It was fine. Just one hole.
The baby actually popped out the side?
No, not the side of the horse. The side of the, like,
Gotcha.
Like a leg came out the butt. Yeah, they just perforate that whole area. And I really am disgusted.
All I heard is you got to reach up in there and help the horse poop. That was it for me. That was
it's a really horrific thing. And I'm really sad that I'm ending my week thinking about this.
Me
Change
too.
Change the subject.
Gemma, you're fired. All right, next one. She did that. Just
Gemma, he hasn't banned anybody in a long time.
I haven't.
Like, you're pretty lucky.
I haven't. Robin got banned a lot, but now Gemma might be first one in a long time. Next one, is, I'm going to change the subject really quickly. This is a two-horse trailer. It's our trailer of the week sent in by Casey. And it looks like a guy named Skeeter actually posted it.
Of course it was Skeeter.
Definitely was a Skeeter. And it says one horse trailer, $1,000. Holy crap. Pulls good. New floor. Decent tires. Has lights. Will sell or swap on bits or spurs or open to offers. Located in Fletcher, Oklahoma. You can go pick it up there, Jamie. This is homemade for sure. Definitely homemade. It's in better shape than most of them we've ever had on here. The top is a little interesting. So it's your normal two-horse trailer, except that the top part that comes over the top actually comes way over the top. So the box is set back, and this is like...
It's like a chariot.
It's like a chariot almost. But it has a roof, and it looks like they took some time. The plywood that the side is made out of, actually looks stained. Like they took time
to
stain.
They gave it that burnt look.
There's
no holes, and the rust is covered up by paint. And this is only an hour and a half away. I just Googled Fletcher. I need it, obviously.
Judging by the looks of it, you could probably fit your geese. I'm not sure you're going to fit much else. It's pretty small.
That is a great geese transport.
It is. So Skeeter has that one for sale. God, there's a guy named Skeeter in Oklahoma.
There is no tongue on this thing, by the way. If you notice, it's just sitting on a truck.
Oh, yeah. You can't.
It's hitched. You can't unhook it.
It looks pretty light, though. You probably pick it up yourself.
What I want to know is how they're going to trade $1,000 worth of bits and spurs.
That's a lot of bits and spurs. That's a lot
we'll
of
sell
bits and
or
spurs.
Swap on bits or spurs.
Spurs, yeah.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Kelly sent in the next one. This is one of those that like makes you go, oh, like this is you're supposed to have no soul. I don't even know if this is that funny. I think it's just kind of sad. I have a gelding going blind. He's been broke to ride in the past. Easy keeper, 12 years old. So you're selling a blind. Oh, yeah. Let's move past that one.
Yeah.
Chelsea
because
sent the next
Jamie's
one.
Going to want to take it home.
Where is it, baby? Is it in Oklahoma? I'll go get him.
This next one is in Lowell. I don't know where that is. Horse, $1,000. Great paint just kneading out of the horses. She is red and white. I will be sending you pictures soon. She writes very well, and I've been riding her.
She writes like W-R-I-T.
She writes very well. Yep, she wrote this. She is about 15 hands, and she's either 10 or 12. Not quite
11.
Sure. I can't remember. She's been getting hot shoes. Great horse. There you go. But apparently pictures are difficult. She can write, but she can't take pictures.
No.
Are you a little creeped out that the author says, I will be sending you pictures soon? How do you know who I am and where to find me?
Yeah, right. That was
a little
creeped
out. Yeah.
I will be visiting you in your home.
Guys, both watch too much Netflix.
Betsy sent the next one in from New Florence, Pennsylvania Craigslist. She wrote needs proofreading.
It came that way. Not tell you.
Probably.
Read carefully. I have read this one before, so do read carefully. Yes.
Okay. Oh, there's some bad words in it. I should probably have read this before. For sale, 8-year-old mare, 15.1 HHS, Novax C. No. Coggins broke, too. Ride, she is little Fuji T1 mounted well. Go anywhere you point her. Never offered... And they wrote, never offered, they meant to ride buck, kick, or bolt, but they wrote with starting with the F. That's a very, very bad thing to put in your ad. Never offered to kick or bolt. Has been shown on weekend trail rides and make great 4-H text or call. Wow, Betsy, thank you for telling me we need to proofread it first.
Yeah.
You know, that's a first. Nobody's ever misspelled that before that way. She don't butt kick her butt. Well, she might. We got to move past that.
Well, the next one's not much better.
Oh, God.
It's a swear word day here in ads.
There's always a theme.
Yes. Today it's swearing. Allison sent this one, and she's from Canada, I think. Dave, it's not me, comma, it's you. That's the title. Dave is a complete bag. Stands 15 hands at age 12 years. Up to date on shots, farrier, etc. Not fazed by traffic. Licked the flasher on a school bus once when we were stopped behind it and was picking up kids. It says licked the flasher on a school. Don't know. Okay. The flasher was blinking. Oh, that flasher. For some reason, I was thinking something else.
Oh, that kind of flasher.
Yes, I was wondering why the horse was licking that flasher.
That dog would bite you.
And the school bus and the kids, it just went all wrong. The flasher was blinking. Built-in sat nav. Dave knows every shortcut home. We're all in one of those. Include shortcuts not on the traditional sat nav systems that you know what I mean. Can jump, but usually just walks through fences when he feels like a change of scenery. Can be an arse to catch. Dave is not for a novice. $1,000. I think Dave and Zeus need to get together. Those
I
two
think the world would end.
Armageddon right there.
The next one Scott sent in, he didn't find that he needed to read it because it's very short. Mini Pony, $500 in La Plata. Where's La Plata? It doesn't matter because everything is spelled. A mini Chet Allen pony and male exclamation point. 7 years old.
You know no how pictures. I read it when I first read it? A mini Chitlin pony, like chitlins. And that didn't make any sense either.
Chitalin. So. Chitalin.
Joy, save us.
All right, here we go, Joy.
Hey, this is Joy Hills, and I have a really bad ad from my hometown, unfortunately. Well, the town next to my hometown in Bangor, Michigan. It's from Craigslist. The title is Horse Chickens Duck Coop Horse Tent for $2,000. Spartan, a one-year-old, just recently became a stallion. Green but seen trainers in the past, so he has a calm demeanor. He sees the farrier on the dot every 3 months and stand well. He is up to date on the shots, etc. Have all the paperwork. Two Rowan ducks just coming into to their feathers. They have been handled and currently share a coop with my chickens due to a raccoon issue. 7 baby chicks, 1 Orpington, 2 Aracuna and 4 fancy breed chickens, 3 laying hens, 1 silver-laced Wyandotte, 1 light Brahma, 1 barred rock, 11 laying hens, bandstand, different colors, beautiful, all laying, 2 bloody, and 1 Bantam rooster, super handsome guy. My husband and I are currently separating, and he took off to North Carolina after destroying my phone and leaving me to support 4 kids, so you will have to email me on my child's tablet, FML.
What on earth did she just read?
And a partridge in a pear tree.
Right?
Do you think they were the husbands, by the way?
Oh, my.
Get rid of everything that isn't nailed down.
Yeah. I feel bad for that woman. Thanks, Joy, for bringing the show up at the end. Jeez.
What I do like is listening to Joy. She, by the way, she's my co-host on Retired Racehorse Radio, pronounce Orpington. Yeah. Chicken breeds. Speaking of retired racehorse,
list of your new chickens, by the way.
Yes, I do have. I think you guys learned on Wednesday that our baby chicks arrived, and they sent plenty of extras, which I don't know if that's good or not. So I really thought that Chad would be mad. He didn't care. Like Lucas said, he's like, I don't care. You didn't do it, so you can't get mad at me.
And you'll lose a few along the way till they're grown up anyway.
I'm sure we will. You know, remember all those guinea fowl?
Yeah.
What guinea fowl? Thank you very much. Retired Racehorse Radio came out this week, and it was really good. You said it was the best interview we've done.
Yeah, tell everybody about that interview quick, because I think it was an important interview, actually.
I thought it was really good. So we did an interview with a woman who, I'm going to look up her name. We did an interview with a woman who wrote an article for the New York Times about saving the American racehorse and what to do. And she's an American, but she trains racehorses over in France, I believe. Yep. And she was so knowledgeable and so information. And just, her name is Gina Rarick. She gave some really, really easy things to do to try to save the racehorse that they do over in Europe, and that is just not even thought of. So you have to go listen to this to hear them. But it was brilliant, just brilliant.
And some of her suggestions were like, "Oh, it doesn't cost any money, and it's like, why aren't we doing that already?"
Yeah,
it's like crazy. It didn't cost any money. They were. It's not like you're changing everything.
And on a side note of the racing industry, since we're bringing it up, let me just drop out that Breeders' Cup is going to stay at Santa Anita for 2019.
Yeah, but you did see that the government did pass the bill that allows the Racing Commission to close the track immediately. They used to have to give them warnings, and it was weeks before they could close the track if they saw fit. Now they can close it that day. They have a meeting, close it. So they did change that law, so things are getting tougher. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, but still, like, you guys, y'all are just...
Let's not end on that. Let's end on something else.
Okay, we got to end with something happy. Well, first of all, what did you learn today?
What did I learn today? I learned today that horses can come out of parts that they're not supposed to. I did learn that.
You did learn that today. Yes. Think of something better, like nicer than you learned.
I learned that Gemma has been banned. I learned that Piggy French knows how to throw a party.
Yeah.
Yeah, and is now married to her longtime fiance. What did you learn?
Oh, gosh. Sadly, I learned some of the things you learned, and they were brought up to me. I've learned that I probably should be a little more careful name-dropping terrible celebrities, considering people that come on our show refrain from doing it for some reason. Seriously. Jane Fonda is the worst. She's the worst.
Was she mean to you?
She was super rude to me, but she actually made one of my coworkers cry. She's that nasty.
You probably met her for 10 minutes.
I've met her several times because she lived in Atlanta, and I was on the radio in Atlanta, so she would always come in to promote something, and I'll just tell you, she's terrible. She's the worst.
Well, there goes that guest. I have to go cancel her next week.
God, thank God. We don't want her. She'll just make you cry, Glenn.
I did learn
that I do need a 1999 Toyota Corolla.
You do. Everybody needs one of those. You'll last forever.
Oh, let's end this thing. All right. Spay, neuter, geld. Everybody have a good one. Thanks.